And we're back at it again, another edition of the Blue Stable Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. I am Michael Pevia, as always. You know, always got to adjust the glasses, you know. Always got the glare, got the headphones, got the mic. You know what it is, always, every time. Joined by me, Dustin Adams. Rashad won't be here tonight. He's got some things he got to take care of. Lovely family night. All joyous around the McGinnis household. So, Destin, it's going to be you and me tonight, buddy. Should we expect anything? I don't think we're going to get into anything much. It's going to be a smooth show.
It's going to be pretty smooth. We're going to start out a little hostile because I just have to say the impression of me that was done on last week's episode did not go unnoticed. It was disrespectful. I have considered suing for slander. We'll see if I decide to go that route with Mr. Pevia here, but it's good to be back. Whenever I'm gone, something crazy goes amok. Last week it was an impression, apparently. But for whatever reason, me and Rashad, we just find ways to miss each other on podcasts recently. He'll be on, I can't be on, I'm on, he's not on. I promise me and Rashad are close, guys. We're not just like tagging in and out because we don't like each other. That's not the case.
Backstage beef.
Because trust me, if I had to back out from anybody, it's not Rashad. I won't say who it is, but
Destin said Rashad couldn't cook steak right, so Rashad got pissed.
but we have a fun one. We're going to be breaking down some information that came out for the Colts. We're going to be talking about the NFL schedule that just released, especially the Colts schedule. But I believe we're going to talk about some breaking news for the Colts to get this all started, right, Michael?
Real quick before we get into that, how much are you going to sue me for? How much am I worth?
I am not at liberty to share anything at this time.
Just so you know, if you do want to sue, you have to find a lawyer in Temple since the crime was committed in Texas. Just so you know.
We'll figure all that out, guys.
Even though I'm getting sued by one of my great friends, one of the guys I consider brothers, we're going to continue on with the show, okay? I'm glad you enjoyed that impression of you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Everybody else enjoyed it. I know Rashad enjoyed it. So I will say that. But yes, breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, for the Colts. They did sign former 1,000-yard rusher Philip Lindsay. He's been with the Broncos, broke out there his rookie year, second year, went to the Dolphins, the Texans, and now he's with the Colts. This sort of sparked some very interesting debates, Destin. I was off in another Twitter world, you know, like laying on the clouds, happy, talking about different sports. And I come back to Colts Twitter, and we're having conversations about Hines getting kicked out to wide receiver, because Lindsay needs to be running back number two. Destin, tell me what all that was about, dude, because I saw that and just left.
I mean, I think for the most part, the group of people online that have been wanting to move Hines to slot, that was already their opinion. I don't think the Philip Lindsay signing did anything to that. It just brought the conversation back up. For everything I've heard, the Colts are not – I just want to say that right now. From everything I've heard from a team source, I do not expect Nyheim Hines to move into a sole receiver-type role. I think they really do like his ability to run from the backfield even. I think we're going to see him have more carries this year than he ever has. And the other thing that people keep talking about is how good Jonathan Taylor was last year. But if you just look across the division, even in the AFC South, we've seen Derrick Henry be very dominant. In this past year, that first injury happens, and we're going to see if Derrick Henry's the same player this year. I don't want to have to go through that with Jonathan Taylor, so I don't want to do the same thing that the Titans have done. The Titans ran that man's wheels off, and now they've put new wheels on. We just got to figure out if he's the same guy with the new wheels. I don't want to see Jonathan Taylor lose wheels like that. I want to see him have a very long, productive career. And I think him and Nyheim Hines could be a dynamic type duo in the backfield. And I don't think Philip Lindsay changes that. I think he's a really solid depth signing. He's going to get to battle it out with a lot of these second year undrafted rookies that are on the roster. Deion Jackson returning as well. I think there's a situation where the Colts could even keep four running backs. It just kind of depends on how the camp battles go, but there's going to be a good 9-10 running backs in camp. Phillip Lindsay isn't even guaranteed a roster spot. Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor aren't going anywhere. Phillip Lindsay, he probably is the favorite for that running back three spot, but some of the stuff online was just nuts.
Yeah. Me personally, you know, remember what I said after the season, Destin. I enjoyed watching Jonathan Taylor go for 1,800 yards. I enjoyed all of it, but we missed the playoffs because we couldn't pass the ball. And when your running back has 1,800 yards, that means you can't really pass the ball effectively. So I said, Jonathan Taylor, enjoy it because it's not going to happen again. So by that, meaning the passing game is going to step up this year, I hope. And Nyheim Hines gets involved a lot more because I think Nyheim Hines burst through the middle, through the hole, I think is probably faster than Jonathan Taylor. Now, just going straight down the field, that's Jonathan. But in terms of just burst getting to the hole, I think Hines is a step quicker than Jonathan Taylor. And I want to see more carries from Hines this year. As far as Lindsay goes, you know, he's had 1,000-yard years, had a couple injuries that set him back, but he's proven he had two solid years in Denver and, you know, went to Houston. Houston was bad, so couldn't really do anything there. But solid depth signing, camp body. Like you said, there's Devontae Pryor, C.J. Verdell, there's Deion Jackson. There's great running back. Well, not great, but there's good running backs who are going to have a chance to – probably out-snap him, out-beat him in special teams. And me personally, looking at the lineman depth, looking at the defensive line, how many secondary players are they going to want to keep? I think they keep three running backs on the roster. Honestly, I don't see them keeping four. Especially, you know, what do you do at quarterback? Do you bring in Nick Foles? Are you sticking with Sam Ehlinger at quarterback too? I don't know. So I think for right now, it's still going to be three running backs, but – if we want to say Lindsay's the favorite for number three, oh, okay. It's number three running back, so I'm not going to spark a debate over number three running back. But, hey, it's a guy who's done 1,000 yards, and, hey, if he makes the roster, great. I want as many guys on the roster that make us better. Other than that, Destin, the schedule release came out last week, and I was pleasantly surprised. Four primetime games. Technically, I count it as three. I don't want to count the Thursday night one, but technically, I'll make you happy, Destin. Four Thursday night is counted as primetime, so the Colts have four primetime games, two of them at home.
And neither of those is the Thursday night game.
Neither of those. It's Monday night football against the Steelers, and Destin, you've talked about the Chargers being the game that you're most excited for. That one is on Monday Night Football. I've talked about a game that I want to go to for the last year. Colts traveling to Dallas on Sunday Night Football. So I'm excited. But before we get there, we got to talk about, you know, what the elephant in the room is. It's been, what, five days or so? We know what the schedule looks like now, and we got some opinions. So the biggest thing immediately, Destin, and I love it. Me personally, I love it. We got five division games in the first 7 weeks. Five division games in the first 7 weeks. Me personally, I love it. I love it. That taste in their mouth after Jacksonville is still there. It's going to still be there come week one. And why not make that, right that wrong by literally sweeping the AFC South early? Why not? I love it. Me personally, I know people are like, oh, I want them spread out. No, I want the entire division right there when we're pissed off, when we're ready. I like it. But of course, there is, you know, like concern. There is, oh, maybe it should have been spread out. What is your opinion for this first point about the schedule? Five division games in the first 7 weeks.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan that it fell that way. But I mean, it's either going to be a great thing or a bad thing. Like, that's just where it's going to be. If you take care of business, you come out on fire to start the year, which they haven't in years past. But if they're able to come out, we had a very good show up at mini camp this past week, rookie mini camp going on now, OTAs coming up, where it looks like we're going to have a good amount of players in town for it for the first time in forever. More importantly, we're going to have the quarterback in town, Matt Ryan, because we didn't have many OTA setups for Phillip Rivers. We didn't have a great OTA setup for Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan coming, they wanted this, they really wanted to prioritize whoever was going to be under center for the team next year was going to be here ready for OTAs. So it's going to be about getting started early. There's a lot of things in those first 7 weeks that they're getting some, they're going to try to get some monkeys off their back. They haven't won a week one game in 8 years. And you're going to see a very big trend with 8 years, because then week two, we're going to Jacksonville. We haven't won in Jacksonville in how many years? 8 years. That first two right off the bat. Get those monkeys off your back. Start out 2-0. I think the rest will kind of play itself out. The other thing about those first seven games, five of those seven are going to be divisional games. The other two are tough AFC teams. We're going to have the Chiefs. We're going to have the Broncos, Broncos being at Denver. That's a tough first seven. But again, if you go through that seven and you do well, we're going to know who this team is going forward. We're going to know who the Colts are after those first seven games. Now, I will say my least favorite part of it is that second game at Tennessee. We're getting them off their bye. That one I didn't like to see. They have that week six bye early in the year. So that's a little rough for them, I guess, but to go right off their bye to playing us, that always sucks. It kind of makes that first divisional game against Tennessee even more important, in my opinion, where you got to take care of business. So as long as the Colts come out and be the team we think they can be, five of the first seven being divisional games is a good thing, but that's a big if right now, looking at years past.
Yeah. One of the monkeys off their back is, like you said, starting out 0-1 or even 0-2, haven't gone 2-0 in a very, very long time to start out the year. You start week one in Houston, you would think you should win that game, right? Week two, obviously everybody, you know, oh my gosh, you haven't won there in a long time. On paper, the Colts should win. They are that much more talented than Jacksonville. They should win. I don't know why the league likes putting off the Colts home opener later than usual most of the time, but that's what's happening. The home opener is going to be against the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and the crew coming to town. But for me, I mean, I love having the division games early, and it helps set the tone for the season, knowing that we've dropped some division games in the past and they've come back to bite us. So as soon as week one gets here, or even when training camp gets here, it's an entirely different mood. It's an entirely different atmosphere, energy than in years prior. Yeah, we can have fun on the field, but we need to get things in gear and we need to get things going, because as soon as we get into the season, there's not going to be any weeks off, because that's literally seven straight AFC games that technically can put you back, if you're not careful, in the potential playoff standings, tiebreakers, everything. So take care of the division. Maybe take care of one of those AFC West games. Obviously, another one here, the return of Carson Wentz coming to Indianapolis. That game is going to be at home against the Washington Commanders, the day right before Halloween. I know some people were out there, oh, should people dress like clowns to, you know, clown Carson Wentz? Me personally, guys, it's not that deep. It's really not. It was 1 year. Okay, all right. It's not like he trashed the fan base or anything. It's not like he trashed Jim Irsay. So Carson Wentz coming back, man. I think that's going to be a CBS game. Maybe should that be a Tony Romo, Jim Nantz game, you think?
CBS got a lot of our games. I saw on the – and CBS is notoriously known to be the AFC, conference for the networks anyway. So it looks like we're going to be on CBS a lot. We'll see, I guess, which crowds we – which analyst crews we draw. But you would think that's going to be a highly media-based game. I mean – again, I mean that's your first NFC game. Your first NFC game, still a lot of drama going to be building up to that, because, I mean, you just look at all the in between the lines here, just reading in between the lines, and more happened in the background of this Carson Wentz Colts season. I mean, the way the Colts talk about it, the way that Carson feels disrespected when he's in his interviews with Washington already, more went down. And that's going to come down on the field. I expect it to be a loud environment. Our fan base turned on Carson as soon as the season ended, as we all saw, for good reason for the most part. And then we saw what the Colts said, and they never had any inclination of believing in Carson Wentz post that game. Never made a statement that even made it even semi-believable that he could be back next year. And he was never going to be back. That's known knowledge now. So that's going to be drama in that game. That first eight games, man, it's interesting. Just a lot to go into there. I do like that through the first eight, you're going to get four road, four away, four road, four home. That's not bad. I mean, eke one out there after having to start on the road for the first two.
I think when it comes to Washington, I think there's going to be more bad blood on Carson than there is going to be for the Colts. Carson's going to come in more motivated than maybe the Colts are, because I really don't – like, I'm not behind the scenes, but, of course, we've heard a lot of things, and I still don't understand why the Colts would come into this like, I want to beat this mother effer. Like, I still don't understand why the Colts would even want to do that. Like, it was a bad quarterback. You moved on. You got a better one. Okay. But for Carson's case, he's going to come in and he's going to try and put on his best performance he's had in 2 years. So, and it's Washington. They're going to have Chase Young back. Their defensive line, we all know, is great. Defense, are they going to be a little bit more healthy this year? Is the offensive line going to be better? Can Carson Wentz be any good? The running backs, wide receivers, what's going to happen with Washington? I think, you know, because you play the NFC East this year. I don't know who's going to win that division. I really don't care. It definitely got tougher, but more so in the draft, they got tougher. So it'll be a little couple more years before we truly see these teams ascend. Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz. We'll get there. But another one right after Washington, New England. And like you said, more headlines, more drama. Here comes New England. You beat them on Saturday the year before. You had Jonathan Taylor run all over them. There was that big fight, or it wasn't big, but there was a scuffle between Michael Pittman Jr. and Kyle Duggar. Michael Pittman Jr. was pushing the back by Kyle Van Noy. You know, all these cheap shots. All that's going to be in there. And a November game in New England, so that probably means a lot of rain, right? It's probably going to be rainy in New England, because that's it's either rainy, windy, or cold as hell. It's never sunny. I've never seen a sunny game in New England. I don't know about you.
I mean,
it's probably cloudy.
It's going to be like a high of 62. If it's not raining, it's going to be an overcast, probably rain the most majority of the day. November is a tough place to go to Gillette Stadium anyway. But, I mean, New England's New England, man. I mean, in Foxborough. But Foxborough is a place you never want to go. It was great drawing them at home last year, getting to go watch that game. There's still distaste between these fan bases. People want to say that rivalry's over. But the Colts fans are going to hate the Patriots till the day they die. Patriots fans may not care as much about us, if we're going to be honest. But Colts fans, our side of it, there's just distaste that's always going to be there for New England. Without Tom Brady, with Tom Brady, with Belichick, without Belichick, the Patriots are just that team. Going to Foxborough is going to be a tough environment, obviously. But it's another game where it feels like on paper we're the better team. It's a lot of – another thing that we haven't talked about through this first nine, that's a lot of second-year quarterbacks in these first nine. We get Davis Mills twice. We get Davis Mills once. We get Trevor Lawrence twice. We get Mac Jones once. That last year rookie class, we're just going to – we're going to run through them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the young guys, like we said, they had some pretty bad years last year. Mac Jones did make it to the playoffs, probably had the best year out of all of them. Davis Mills probably had the second best year. Everybody else kind of wet the bed a little bit. But again, Trevor Lawrence, do you expect him to stay down? Maybe not with Doug Peterson, who is a good offensive mind. Mac Jones, more weapons, more draft picks. You know what the New England Patriots are going to be with Bill Belichick. That's going to be week 8, Washington. Week 9, New England. New England is going to be on the road, of course. So Indianapolis going to New England. Week 10, going to Vegas. So this is, you know, what do you think, Destin? You know, team hotel, maybe an hour outside of Nevada. Maybe they get a hotel in California.
Can we have nobody have any time out of the hotel for this Vegas game? I mean, every time players are in Vegas, it feels like ever since the Raiders have moved here, somebody gets in trouble. I mean, we had the Kamara issue over this past year, obviously the Henry Ruggs situation that just occurred. That's a way worse situation. Having a team in Vegas makes sense for revenue purposes.
Yes.
But man, oh man, has it been troublesome already.
Very.
For when the players are there. So circle that one. Just make sure that we can get out of that week healthy. We can get out of that week without any off the field issues.
Yeah. Team hotel, maybe an hour or two away. Maybe.
Like, do what you got to do to stay out of Vegas.
Hey, but maybe is that the Rocky Sin revenge game? Three interceptions, maybe coming out with a vengeance.
I mean, but could we be the Yannick revenge game? Yannick's had a little bit more distaste about it. I mean, Yannick saw them. He had another good year. They replaced him. They signed Chandler Jones,
Chandler Jones
coming off a year where he was injured already. Decided to sign Chandler Jones instead of keeping Yannick, who him and Crosby had a really good duo last year. The defensive changes could have been a part of that as well. But Yannick has some distaste about it. He's already had interviews where he's talked a little bit about it, saying he knows they're on the schedule and he has that game circled. So we'll see kind of what happens. It feels like we play the Raiders every year. How many years in a row is this that we played the Raiders? I want to say at least 5.
No, as far as I can remember, week 2018. As far as I can remember. I haven't checked 2017, 16.
We had to have played them every single year that Reich's been here.
I think we lost in 2016, I want to say.
Well, I remember there was the game the year that Carr was on pace to be in the MVP conversation. He gets hurt against us.
I think that was 2016, no?
I think so.
You missed the playoffs. You missed the playoffs that year, yeah.
So, it's an interesting one. Raiders, every year, Derek Carr gives us troubles. I mean – We saw what Renfro did to old Kenny Moore last year.
Oh, so yeah.
Kenny Moore should have that one circled week 10 because Renfro put him on skates last year.
Devontae Adams.
They're only getting harder. I mean, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller.
Josh Jacobs, that's gonna
be a fun offense. That's a fun team.
It's definitely gonna be a good one. Definitely gonna be. And even the defense, you know, Trayvon Merrick, he's gonna have year 2 under his belt. This is week 10, so he's going to have plenty of football. Got the corners out there. You know, they got the pass rushers. Me, personally, I really don't understand shipping off Yannick and going and getting Chandler. Shipping out, you know, potentially 4 more years of a good pass rush duo for, like, 1 or 2. Like, maybe they're going all in. Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't have signed Jones to ship off a younger Yannick, but that's just me. Personally,
I think it could have been done with Yannick. It really has only had that greater success under Gus Bradley defenses. I think Gus Bradley's defense really caters to his play style. It's a perfect setup for him. So I think once the knowledge was that McDaniels was coming in, getting his own guys, and a guy like Chandler Jones is on the market, that probably what got weighed in there as well. I agree, though. If I had to pick between Chandler Jones paying him what they paid him and trading away Yannick for a corner, I would have just kept Yannick, but I'm not going to complain about it. The Colts ended up with Yannick. The Colts ended up signing a corner or place the spot that some people might know of, one Stephon Gilmore. So I think Indianapolis is going to be just fine.
Week 11, the Philadelphia Eagles are coming to Indianapolis. Nick Sirianni makes his return to Indianapolis after leaving Indy to become the Eagles head coach. Made the playoffs in his first year. It was a very ugly, ugly performance in the playoffs. I don't think they beat a single playoff team or a team above 500. So, hey, you know, they got a little bit more talent. Offensive line, defense got a little bit better. They added some talent there. But you still have Jalen Hurts at quarterback. I'm still feeling very good about this game. Jalen Hurts strikes zero fear into my heart, but it's just a team around them. Can they get Devontae Smith the ball? Do they have any type of plans for Rager? Are they going to ship him off even before this game, maybe cut him? Because it's been very disappointing for him in his career. But they still have other weapons there in Philadelphia. So, you know, this game is probably going to be circled again. Maybe Frank Reich has circled it. Nick Sirianni, his protege. Eagles coming to town, week 11.
Yeah, I mean, this game could have had even more emotion if Carson Wentz was still the quarterback. And that game is going to happen next year as well, where Washington's going to play Philadelphia twice, obviously. Looking at the Eagles, I mean, they're a very well-improved team. They drafted well. They stocked up picks for next year. And the reason they stocked up picks for next year is because they also don't really believe in Jalen Hurts yet. They obviously were telling everyone that, because why else are you trading back in round one to begin it with the Saints just to stockpile picks for next year? I'm just saying, like, why else are we doing that? But they improved AJ Brown. I'm excited that we're still going to get to play AJ Brown, because ever since Stephon Gilmore signed here, I wanted to lock up AJ Brown more than anything. So I love that we're going to get the chance to see that. In week 11, home game, I'll be there, repping the shoe there. But, I mean, the Eagles, it's a good roster. I like Nick Sirianni. I want him to have success, but I hope we beat him by 30. Their fans, man, over this past year, so annoying to deal with through the Carson Wentz stuff going on. Did they win the trade? Congratulations. Yeah, you won the trade. But we're going to win week 11. That's all that matters to me right now.
Yeah, I like things that didn't even have to do with Philly. They were in our mentions all the time, I guess, man. Oh, well, that's going to be a fun one. And you talked about second-year quarterbacks. Maybe we play a rookie, and this might be the only rookie that plays this year. Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh, drafted in the first round. Is he going to beat out Mason Rudolph? It's going to be a sticky competition, man.
Whoa. You didn't even mention Mitchell Trubisky now. Come on. Mason Rudolph.
Okay, Kenny Pickett. Okay, let me throw out Mason Rudolph. Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky, okay?
There you go.
Kenny Pickett, I'm very curious to see how that quarterback battle comes out. Kenny Pickett was one of the guys I was kind of low on, so do I want him to win the job more? Possibly. You know, they did draft George Pickens. Other than that, you know, offensive-wise, Pete Freiermuth, he can break out as a tight end. But that defense in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh is one of those teams that you always feel like it's always around Indianapolis, just like Vegas, just like the Raiders. The Pittsburgh Steelers, always a thorn in the side of the Colts. It feels like we always lose. Don't even get me started on 2020. Don't even get me started on that game. Don't even get me started there. But Steelers, Colts, nothing like it.
I'm glad we're not going to Pittsburgh. This is a primetime game, as we said earlier, Monday night football, hosting Pittsburgh. I really don't know if it's going to be Pickett or Trubisky. Everything they're saying in the media, I mean, it's not similar to Chicago last year where they draft Fields at 10, higher than Pickett goes here to Pittsburgh. and right away say they're starting Andy Dalton. Fields is the backup. Fields is going to be learning this year. Tomlin was the opposite, really. They draft him, and then as soon as the draft post day one goes out, they talk about how much they liked him, how they that was number one quarterback on their board, even though he was the first quarterback taken that day. So obviously he was the first quarterback on their board, but they wanted to tell us multiple times in that interview that he was the first number one quarterback on their board. If this is an actual camp battle and Pickett loses to Trubisky, that's got to be a red flag if I'm a Steeler fan. I'm not trying to dog on Trubisky. I don't think he's bad. When they signed him, I thought it made sense. Get a little stopgap type quarterback. I think Trubisky is definitely serviceable. They have good enough players around him to play well. But then you look at their division. Joe Burrow is going to be there for the next 10 years. Lamar Jackson is going to be there for the next 10 years. They just traded for the Browns just acquired Deshaun Watson, who, if he's on the field, is going to be talented for the probably the next decade. And then you draft a guy who has a ceiling that's probably lower than all four of them, which is what was very shocking to me. I don't know who's going to play us week 12. I don't. But I do know this is just another monkey we need to get off our backs. We need to win week one. We need to win in Jacksonville. We need to win the AFC South. We didn't talk about that earlier, but that's the big one that we need to get off our back. You know how long that one's been? 8 years as well. We got to beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is just another team that has had our number. I don't think we've won against Pittsburgh since 2003. I'd have to do my research on that, but it's early 2000s for sure. The last time we beat Pittsburgh,
they beat the Steelers in the playoffs in 2005, right? Or 2006?
Well, they may have beat them in the playoffs, I guess.
Regular season. Okay, regular season.
I'm talking strictly. I'll get the exact number for you, but week 12 is going to be an interesting one.
Week 12 is going to be the first Monday night game for the Colts. And we actually skipped over it. Week 5 against the Broncos on the road. That's going to be Thursday night football. Week 13, I'm going to this game. All right. I might even do a Blue Stable vlog on the road in enemy territory. Colts going to Dallas, going to make the trip. I'm going to make the trip 2 hours up the road. Sunday night football. And this is interesting. Back-to-back primetime games. They might have a day off or a day shorter than the Cowboys would because they're going to play on Monday night and then they'll travel Saturday and be there Sunday night. This is Sunday night, man. I was kind of shocked the Colts and the Cowboys got Sunday night football because there's literally no bad blood or any type of rivalry between the Colts and the Cowboys. Like, they rarely meet. They only meet every 4 years. But maybe there's extra juice this time. Last time the Colts and Cowboys faced off, the Colts absolutely shut out the Cowboys. They made a mockery of them. Darius Leonard mocked Leighton Vander Esch for Leighton even thinking he was in Darius Leonard's vicinity, atmosphere. Any national analyst thought Leighton Vander Esch was better than Darius Leonard. There was motivation in that game. And now, well, I can't remember if it was this last year, but Matt Ryan went to Dallas and gave up, what was it, a 28-31 point lead in Dallas. So now I think this is one of those games that was altered once the Matt Ryan trade went down. I think this may have been one of those that were altered. You know, let's get this into prime time. But I'm excited about this one because, again, it's the NFC East. Are they going to be good this year? I don't know. Is the winner of the division even going to hit double-digit wins? I don't know. But Cowboys, they drafted Jalen Tolbert. CeeDee Lamb's going to be the number one. Michael Gallup will be returning from an ACL. Ezekiel Elliott needs to get his workout and conditioning in a serious way. Dak Prescott, you know, solid quarterback, but the defense
needs to
stay
healthy.
It needs to stay healthy. Defense, you know, is pathetic, sucks, ass, bad. So, and of course, it's Mike McCarthy, who literally does not know anything about football. So, what do you think about this game?
I mean, first of all, going back to the Steelers conversation, we haven't won against Pittsburgh since 2008, to be exact. And looking at week 13, I'm kind of shocked this is the primetime game too. There's some there's some good games that didn't get primetime slots here. I mean, we're looking at Titans-Eagles is a 1 o'clock game. The A.J. Brown trade probably was already made after the schedule was finalized.
Who wants to watch Tennessee, honestly? Who wants to watch
But, I mean, there's at least bad blood that it's going to happen with the A.J. Brown trade. There's some fun ones here, though. Broncos-Ravens is at 1 o'clock that day instead of a primetime game. That's going to be a fun one.
Garbage.
Stop. Chargers-Raiders, that's going to be a fun game. That,
okay, so
that's 425.
Honestly, if the Cowboys or the Colts absolutely suck this year, this could get flexed out and that one could get flexed. Oh,
but then this one's this one might be even better. I don't know about better, but it's on the same caliber. The other 4 o'clock game, 425 start, is Kansas City-Cincinnati.
Oh, man. Dude, I am surprised this one got that slot. Like, there's got to be something that,
honestly, that
the
Monday night
makers saw.
The Monday night, the Sunday night. This is Monday night football, right? No, this is Sunday night football.
Sunday night football.
This is Sunday night football. Monday night football isn't better than either of those games that got the 4 o'clock start either. I mean, the Saints at Bucks. Is the Monday night football game?
Who wants to watch the Saints? Come on.
That's what I'm saying. The Colts and Cowboys and Saints at Bucks got the primetime slots there, but Chargers at Raiders and Chiefs at Bengals didn't. That's crazy to me. But
I think it's because they had other primetime games earlier before those weeks. I think they had like two each. So, but yeah.
It'll be a fun game. There's been some battle back and forth between some of the picks the Colts and Cowboys have made. My favorite one to go back to is Cowboy fans really thought Van Der Esch was better than Darius Leonard. They really, really wanted to believe it. I think they've come back to earth now on that, obviously. But, I mean, the Cowboys, they're a team that have multiple key players that kind of struggle staying healthy. To draw them on the latter end of the schedule might not be that bad. Are they going to come in 100%? I mean, I doubt anyone's at 100% at week 13. But the Colts hadn't had a bye up until this point. This is the last game until the Colts get that bye week at week 14. Heading to the bye with some momentum, hopefully, on their side. But, I mean, you love to have prime time, and we're going to Jerry World. It's going to be a fun one for sure.
And you're going to make the trip and come with me, right?
Hey, we'll see. Well, look at that. It's December 4th.
December 4th. Yes, sir.
Early December. You're going to give me an early Christmas gift and buy me a plane ticket?
I can buy you a ticket, not the plane.
All right. You'll get the game. I have to cover the plane. We'll see.
Okay. All right. So, the tickets we get, we might be like at the top of the stadium hanging like off the AC vent. We might have those type kind of tickets. And they're cheap right now, actually, dude. They're like $25 right now. Of course, the nosebleeds, but, you know, you want to get a little bit lower. So, you know, last quick point on this one. I don't know, and I quite frankly don't care who wins the left tackle spot. But whoever wins it, please just block Micah Parsons. Braden Smith, he'll lock down big gum, yapping, loudmouth DeMarcus Lawrence. Braden Smith will lock him down. I don't give a damn if it's Pryor or if it's Ryman. Just block Micah Parsons, please. I'll just say that. So other than that, after week 13, primetime, after having back-to-back primetime games, you're going to have your bye week. I hate this bye week in week 14. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it because you're starting work technically in like May or April. You're already starting work. That goes into heavy preparation in training camp. And then you go into the season. You know how much hours you have to spend, how many days you have to spend breathing, eating, sleeping, football. These guys are husbands, they're brothers, they're fathers, they're whatever the case you want to be. And they have to do that for 13 weeks straight. And then they get to their bye week, week 14. They're worn out. They're tired. They want to sleep. But, you can't sleep because now you got to be super dad. You got to be super husband. Let's go on vacation. Let's go have date night this week. Let's go take the kids out here. You know, we saw during Hard Knocks, we had that late bye week. Xavier Rhodes took his kids over here and all this other stuff. I really hate it because it's almost like work. You know, if you're working hard throughout the day, but you take a lunch, like an hour lunch, and then you come back, you don't want to work. But if you take a 30-minute lunch, hey, okay, I still feel rejuvenated. This bye week so late into the year, and people don't understand, I don't even understand how much work, stress, and mental stress goes into an NFL season, and they're going to go 13 weeks straight, and who knows what the standings are going to be. Maybe Tennessee's chasing them. Maybe Jacksonville's chasing them. Maybe they're chasing Jacksonville. Maybe they're chasing Tennessee. And they come out flat-footed. I do think – now, Carson Wentz was bad. We all know that. The team fell apart. But I think having that Week 14 bye last year had something to do with that. I do think that did. It was so late in the
year. Last year was 13.
Okay, 13. It was so late in the year. Like, I hate these late season buys. I hate them.
So I'm also not the biggest fan of the super late buy. I do think it's better than the super early buy. Like, I'd rather have the week 14 buy than the week 6 buy. Usually I want to be in the like 8 to 12 range, in the middle, basically a little, maybe on the earlier end, later end. Week 13 or 14 isn't great. Week 6 and 7 isn't great, but I definitely prefer 14 than 6 or 7. And there's two ways to look at it. It's going to be a long time before you get that bye. You take care of business before the bye. You get a very well-needed break right before the end of the season. Finish it off strong. Where your stretch after that bye, 15, 16, 17, and then 18, obviously, isn't too bad when you looked at everything else. We're going to get into it a little bit. But Vikings at Minnesota, Chargers are going to be at home on Monday Night Football, go to the Giants, and then you have the Texans to end the year. The Vikings and Chargers will be tough games. And the Giants and Texans, I mean, are never going to be pushovers, obviously, the NFL. But on paper, you should beat both those teams at the end. So getting a bye right before the Vikings, a team that's going to be solid, it's not awful. It's not the best case scenario, but as long as you take care of business in the first 13 weeks, it's a blessing, in my opinion.
Yeah, you said after that bye week, you're going to be on the road against Minnesota. Kirk Cousins is going to be slinging that football. You got Justin Jefferson, who's obviously there. Adam Thielen is getting a little bit older. You know, brought in has some good draft picks. That's going to be on the road. That's going to be in late in – you know, in December. So is it going to be snowing? It doesn't matter because you'll be in a stadium, a very nice stadium. Monday Night Football, that's the big one. That's your big one, Destin. It's around Christmas time. I hope that doesn't interfere. Well, I mean, you're already season ticket holder, right?
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder.
Okay, so that's already locked in.
So, I mean, the Chargers game is the day after Christmas, I believe. Yeah, December 26th. So we'll get to go through all the holidays. I'll be exhausted the next day.
But oh, yeah.
It's Monday night, so it'll be all right.
Monday night football.
But this is a fun one. This is what I had. This is one of the ones I had circled before the year because I think the Chargers had the best offseason, in my opinion, from top to bottom of what they were able to do, retaining on offense, adding to the defense. I'm one of the people that actually likes Brandon Staley as a head coach. I know he was kind of over-criticized last year, very aggressive type coach. I mean, we have Frank Reich. So, I mean, we're used to being in the aggressive side of things on the going for it on fourth down and in the red zone areas. But I'm always going to be someone that wants that type of coach over a Kyle Shanahan that punts and kicks field goals his ways into losing games all the time. Passiveness losing games would drive me nuts. Is Brandon Staley a little bit trigger happy on going for it? Maybe. But give me that type of coach over a passive coach any day. But I think this is going to be a really good game right before the playoffs, where hopefully the Colts have set themselves up to be in, and hopefully they've already set themselves up to be clearly winning the AFC South by week 16. But that's going to be a really big game to show you where this team is going into the playoffs, because I think the Chargers are going to be one of those favorites to win that juggernaut of a division over there in the AFC West. So you win that game, that's sending you into the playoffs with a high. You have the Giants and Texans after that. You need to also take care of. Hopefully you're in position to where you can sit players week 18 and prepare because you've prepped yourself that well. But that Chargers game to me is going to be the last game of the season where it's like, this is who this Colts team is heading into the playoff. That's a big one.
Unless Daniel Jones decides he knows how to play quarterback and can play it well. And the
if Brian Daboll is actually a quarterback whisperer and he's the reason Josh Allen was successful and he rejuvenates Daniel Jones, I'll bite it. I'll take the L.
Hey man, they got Evan Neal. They got some players. You never know. So yeah, Giants week 17, the G-Men, you will be going on the road to East Rutherford, and then you will finish up the regular season at home against the Houston Texans. You start the season week one in Houston. You will end the season week 18 in Houston. Now, guys, yes, we've been knowing this. The schedule is going to be tough, and this schedule is tough. But you know what? We look like we're going to be a tough team as well. So,
you know what schedule situation is fun. That we, you know what part we didn't even talk about much?
What's that?
The weather aspect of this road wise during the cold months, we only got one game that looks like it could be warm. We have Vegas in November, but every other road game, maybe Texas December 4th is a little warmer than the other places.
Well, they'll be indoors.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true. But other than that, I mean, Minnesota's new stadium, it'll be cold, but I think that's also indoors. Have a dome now. Obviously New York will not be indoors. That'll be outside. Foxborough in November, also going to be cold. Tennessee in late October, that should be cold. We got Denver early October. That's probably in the range of when it's the fall and it shouldn't be too cold.
But that's like more around that time. You just worry about altitude, I think.
It's not even that time. It's just always. Yeah. Always. now whoever the Colts kicker is, we've struggled with the deep kicks. Hopefully Denver will be able to take care of that one at Mile High. We get some long ones in there for them. Right. But other than that, I mean, it just feels like all the road games are placed where – just about all the ones you were hoping could be later in the year where it won't be unbearable. I mean, you got Houston and Jacksonville to start off the year. It'll probably still be significantly warmer in September than if you would have drew them in those in December. It's an interesting schedule. It is. I mean, we talked about it earlier. The five divisional games in the first seven is the big one. It's going to be how you react to those. Gut reaction. You looked at the schedule, win, loss. What is your gut reaction right now with the Colts finish?
Oh, man.
Including place in the AFC South.
I think they will – I think they'll win the division. And I think they will end the season – I'll say 10-7. I'll say 10-7. I think they could either be – I'll say the third seed. I'll say the third seed because I think the division winner – I think Buffalo might seed a little bit lower because in that division, it's also a little tough because the Jets got better. The Dolphins always seem to be a team that can just bite you out of nowhere. The Patriots got better. So that division is a little bit more – tougher than ours. So I'll say 10-7 and we finish third.
So I got it at 11-6. The AFC, man, I mean, there's been so much talk about how good the conference is, and it is. But the interesting thing is, like, how many wins do I think the number one seed's going to be? Because is the number one seed going to come out of the AFC West where they have to play each other six times? The AFC North is going to be a dogfight. The AFC East is going to have multiple teams. The Bills are probably the favorite. New England's going to be around. Miami improved. The Jets improved. The AFC South is by far the least talented in the AFC. It's probably a two-team race between Tennessee and Indianapolis. I think Jacksonville improved, but they improved the way Jacksonville always improves. But we'll see if the money correlation leads to play. Houston on paper is still going to be pretty poor performance wise. I think they're moving in the right direction. They added some pieces that'll be fun on the defensive side of the ball for sure, but we'll have to see how it all adds up. I want to say they're going to end up 11-6, and I think that's going to be good enough for a top two seed in the AFC just because of all the teams. Because I don't know for certainty if I can say – if I had to pick, I'd probably say the Bills end up as the one seed because I just can't see anyone in the AFC West winning 12 games. That'd just be nuts to me, just looking at that division. The AFC North, I can't see them winning 12 games.
For week one against Houston – again, for week one, those division week one games, they can go either way. And if I'm
especially with the Colts, we lost it. Yeah. We lost at Jacksonville, like Phillip Rivers' first year. Yeah. When their starting quarterback was Gardner Minshew,
and that was their only win of the year. So, Houston, I actually have a prediction for week one. It's not a win loss. It's not a win loss prediction, but I think the roof will be open in Houston. Because if Houston's trying to be smart, them Indy boys don't know about Texas heat. So get that Texas heat in the stadium and dehydrate them or whatever the game. Gain any type of competitive advantage you can. And I'm going to say that. That's my little – I think the roof is going to be open week one. And these guys, their conditioning, their hydration is going to be tested. So I'll say that. I don't really have much. Again, like I said, me personally, for the playoffs, I want it pushed to 8 teams. Like, I really do, because the 7 teams kind of – the 6 teams never really made sense. I think for NFL playoffs, you should have 8 teams in each conference. And then
half the league should be in the playoffs?
Hey, more ratings, right? More ticket sales, right?
Zero buys? Or are you going back to 2?
Huh? No buys. The entire playoff field gets a 1 week bye. Everybody gets a week to prepare. Now,
you're nuts.
Off to the races. Man,
the NFLPA, if they're listening to this right now, they're putting Michael Peavy on their blacklist. They're striking Michael Peavy.
I don't think they're striking
for any team and 8. You're out here doing too much, Michael.
If I'm blacklisted by the NFLPA, at least I am not blacklisted. I am put on the board of trustees of the NFL that brings in the change. All right. So I'll say that why not get 8 teams each conference? Everybody gets a week off. Then here we go. Boom. Let's get it. Why not?
I don't know.
That's just my little thing I wanted to throw out there.
There's a part of me that isn't even sure 7 is better than 6 in the aspect of 2 teams not getting a bye. I don't think I could get on board to go to 8 and 0 teams get a bye. I just think the bye setup where a team earned it in the regular season, it's just like something they've earned. I think that just makes more sense to me personally. And it's a win and go home environment. Like we saw Tennessee get the 1 seed last year, get the bye, and then lose at home against Cincinnati. So I just think that bye is important personally, but we'll see what happens. They're not moving to 8 anytime soon. It took forever to get to 7, and they were talking about it for like 6-7 years.
Hey, what New Orleans did in the play-in this year, being a 10th seed and then pushing the number one seed to 6 games in the actual playoffs, that got me thinking, why not? You know, let's do it. Come on. Before we do get out of here, guys, this is really all we wanted to talk about, bring the schedule to you guys, talk about Philip Lindsay, maybe, may not make the roster. Before we get out of here, guys, it is NBA season. It is conference finals season. There's 4 teams left. NBA lottery was today. Pacers were not lucky. They got the number 6 pick. They did not get number 1. Orlando got number 1. So to indulge, you know, our fan base is mostly, you know, Indiana. We know this. So for the Pacers, Destin, before we get out of here, talk just a little bit of basketball here real quick. Number 6, how are the Pacers looking, man?
6 isn't that bad. The lottery setup is an interesting one where they had the end of the year, the fifth worst team in the league. So they had a better chance of getting the seven spot than any spot in the draft. They had a very low chance of ending up at the five. So it felt like seven was going to be where their mark was. They ended up at the six. So they almost moved up a spot in my mind. Six isn't bad. There's six to seven guys in this class that I think are actually worth being lottery picks. So being in that top seven was really important to me. And I think from what I heard today, and all I'll say before we keep moving is it feels like Indiana wants to move up. So we'll see how aggressive they get.
Hey, moving up. I don't know who you're going to get up, move up to go to, but getting to the conference finals, we have a game actually going on right now. We're recording in the middle of Miami and Boston, a minute 25 left. Miami leads 114-107. Looks like the Celtics have brought out the bench. Miami will go up 1-0 in the series. Who do you think comes out of this series and why? Miami and Boston.
I'm still going to go Boston, even with Al Horford and Marcus Smart missing the first two games, it looks like. I just think the star power of Tatum and Brown are going to end up overtaking Miami. So I'm going to take Boston. I think it'll be a good series, though. I think it's going to be a 6 or 7 shootout either way.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of physicality in this series, man. I will say that. Miami, Boston, it feels new. I like to see new blood, new teams every year. Even though they are big markets, they have been struggling to get to this stage for quite some years. Over in the Western Conference, obviously, you know, I'm a big Mavericks fan. We got the Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Golden State Warriors. Steph, Clay, Draymond. You already know the Hall of Famers are ready. How do you see that series playing out?
I mean, you're a Mavericks fan. So, first of all, congratulations on your Mavericks being in the Western Conference Finals. I may have told you that I didn't see a way that would happen before the playoffs started, as my exact words. And they outplayed my expectations. Now, if I had to pick a winner between the Warriors and Mavs right now, I'm probably going to say Warriors in six, from just how I look at how it matchups. I think Luka's the best player on the court, and I think if they find a way to advance, he'll be the best player on the court the rest of the playoffs either way. But I just think the overall team talent of Golden State is going to be too much for Dallas after Luka.
I think in terms of talent, Phoenix was more talented than Golden State. And I mean, I agree with you. You know, we talked back and I told you I think this team can make it to the conference final. I didn't think they were going to make it to the conference finals like that. I didn't see that. They just came out and just straight up smacked the damn Suns. But this series, man, it is, I still haven't picked a winner. Honestly, I won't give my prediction yet. I'll make it tomorrow. I don't know. I really don't. I think these two teams match up really well. I mean, small ball lineup teams, you know, who's going to be taken out first? Dwight Powell, Kevon Looney. I really hope Steve Kerr's plan is not to put Draymond on Luka, because that dude's going to get in foul trouble and the Warriors are going to be in some big trouble. Maybe Wiggins.
So you mean you do hope that happens?
I mean, I'll hope for it. Okay. I just see nothing but Warriors fans. Warriors in four, Warriors in five. Hey, man. Mavericks, maybe they're not supposed to be here. I really don't care. We're here. So it's a fun experience. It feels great to be on this stage, to be one of four teams with a legit shot at a championship. I love it. I mean, are y'all's teams not in the conference finals? How ghetto. So, other than that, I don't know, dude. Steph, Clay, they haven't been Steph and Clay this year. They haven't, but they're still getting to the Western Conference Finals, and they're still here. So the biggest thing is going to be Draymond Green in this series. I think that's going to be the biggest key for the Warriors, because he does everything. He does everything. You can't convince me Draymond is not more important to the Warriors than anyone else on their squad. You can't convince me. And then the Mavericks, dude, you're playing with house money, man. You were picked to lose against the Jazz. You were picked to get swept against the Suns. Not even supposed to be here. We're supposed to be draft planning and free agency news right now. In Cabo. We're supposed to be there. Luka's supposed to be back in Slovenia right now. We're playing with house money. So I'm riding with my boys. I'm happy about it. If we get beat by the Warriors, we're in the conference finals, man. I have nothing bad to say about the Warriors. Class acts, champions, Hall of Famers. They're deep. Steve Kerr, one of the better coaches. It's gonna be a fun series. I'll just say that, man. It's gonna be fun. So other than that, guys, that is gonna do it for the Blue Stable, this edition of the Blue Stable Podcast, the official cult podcast of FanSided. Check us out there. You know, you can go to, you know, maybe their website. They have our podcast embedded. But what you can also do is go to the Blue Stable website, where our podcast is also embedded. We got articles. We got graphic. We got all this stuff for you guys to check out, okay? So if you have made it this long in the video here, guys, I really appreciate it. Destin appreciates it. All of us at the Blue Stable appreciate it. If you could do us one quick favor, guys, like this video, subscribe. We're trying to get help. We're trying to get to 50,000. You know, put 50,000 out there. You know, we want to keep making content for you guys. We love you guys. If y'all could do us a quick favor, like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube, that will be all fine and dandy. We would appreciate it, guys, so much. So other than that, Destin, any closing remarks?
Nothing I can think of right now. OTAs are around the corner. Training camp is around the corner. We're really close to it feeling like football is actually back. The schedule being announced is always the big one, where it just feels like we're itching for more football. The schedule's here. We know who we're playing, when we're playing them. OTAs and training camp are around the corner. We're going to get to see football again here soon. So just get pumped, everybody, and just always go Colts.
And you know what season it is, Destin? Michael Pittman Jr. season. About to sun everyone in the AFC South, the AFC West, the NFC East. He's about to sun everybody. Don't think I've gotten off that bandwagon because I am driving it. So, other than that, guys, I'm Michael Pevia. He is Destin Adams. We will be back with you next week, hopefully with the whole gang. Hopefully with the whole gang here with you. So, guys, thank you. Again, check us out on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check us out on the website, the Blue Stable website. Link will be down in the description below. Y'all take care.